Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Every like a bear and dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today, and
yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. The Christmas gift that merely makes you think that it's the thought that counts. That's Simone LaRue.
That's Chad Ekowitz. What a beautiful introduction, Chad.
You know, there's always that one pretty Christmas present under the tree that you're just like, yeah, it's about the thought more than the actual piece of shit gift.
It's so nice that they got something.
And talking about getting something, we've got...
So nice that they got something.
We've got David Ault
back on. Piece of shit gifts. Piece of shit gifts that look nice, but you really want to leave under the tree?
No,
okay,
David.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. Yeah,
I mean, I was trying to find a good segue into it, of, like, using the words, and I was like, yeah, I could probably fit in, like, squeeze in the getting something bit. It was fine, you know? You know, like, we always love to give you the royal fanfare, but, you know, you're basically one of us now, so... You get, you know, treated like one of us.
A light roasting.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I mean, I light roast myself, especially around this time of year anyway, so.
What kind of roast are we talking? Like a pork roast, chicken?
Ooh, anything really. I mean, I do like...
Are you guys like proper, like gammony people?
That has a totally different meaning in this country. Just warning you. Yes.
Does
a
it?
A gammony person tends to be...
Oh.
Yes. Have you got it? No? Okay, so a gammony person
I've never heard
is,
of this.
Have you not?
No.
Right, okay, so it's generally, I mean, this is, I'm working off. anyway, so it's generally a white person that goes very red because they're very angry because they're conservative.
Brilliant.
Right. Interesting.
Yes, so okay. If you're a gammony person, that's not
right.
Usually meant
yeah.
as a term of endearment.
Yeah.
Oh, then you don't want that. Okay, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to imply.
That's okay.
I just...
It's quite all right, don't worry. It's cross-cultural communication.
Let me ask if you
about.
Are a gammon stan, maybe. Is that what the youth would say?
I was just going to say, since we're already talking about it, let's ask David his voting preferences. Who did you vote for in the last election? And did you vote for Brexit?
And if so, why?
I answer all such questions. I answer all such questions with, well, what do you think?
But honestly, like, so you are from the north of England, so I can
indeed.
Imagine it would
yes.
be Yorkshire's, it would be, if it's Christmas, we're probably talking a turkey then.
I have not had a turkey for Christmas for years, because my
wow.
sister doesn't like turkey, so whenever we had it as a child, we didn't have turkey, so we got into the habit of having a nice proper pork roast.
Nice.
You know, get some garlic into the skin to infuse
yeah.
out and all
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of stuff, or a nice bit of beef, or indeed a nice, you know, anything really.
Nice.
But I must say that I do like a good pork roast.
Lovely.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I like a good Yorkshire pudding. Sorry, I know, like, I just read about this the other day. Do you do the thing where you put a slice of cheese on your Christmas cake?
I'm sorry, what's this?
You've never put cheese on your Christmas cake?
It's a Yorkshire thing I've read.
Yeah, I think it's possibly a North of England kind of thing. But
okay.
There's definitely a thing of having fruitcake with a nice sharp, like salty, tangy cheese.
I mean,
I
that makes sense.
It's,
like the flavor profiles yeah. work really well.
Exactly, exactly. And so, and I know that there is a particular cake. I think they're Wilfred cakes because I living in Ripon. It was founded by St. Wilfred, so we have a lot of Wilfred related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these things called Wilfred cakes, which have apple and cheese.
Lovely.
That's awesome.
Within it, and it really does work because you know you've got that mixture of,
yeah.
of salty and sweet and tasty and you know carbs and pastry and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
What Christmas is about, really, to be honest.
Exactly.
Sweet, yeah. salty, carbs, pastry. I mean...
Yeah, exactly.
And alcohol as well, of course.
In that order, yeah.
Mm.
Well, today, as you can probably tell, dear listeners, we are doing Christmas movies. It is the season, finally. Jingle
so
all
happy.
The way. I am so excited
happy.
About this. And as a promise we made to David, we said that, you know, he did mention that No Sleep podcasters are not just for Halloween. They are for all year round. And we are Indeed. Nothing if not heeding that advice and really taking advantage of David being our friend for the next, hopefully, you know, couple weeks before he realizes he's way too good for us.
Oh, Chad, don't be silly.
You
two
say
weeks,
that now,
2 weeks
you?
Max. Yeah,
it,
you're like,
it is a pleasure. It is an absolute pleasure to be here.
You say that, but you watch the same movies that we do, and it's like, pleasure
yes,
is not the
yes.
word.
I love that you tweeted about this. You were like, oh, I'm doing some research for the Fresh Tomatoes yep. podcast. I love that you mm-hmm. called it research instead of sitting on the couch watching trash.
I've still got the notes.
So much better than us at
we
everything.
Don't deserve
I love it.
Notes.
We do not yeah. deserve. This is our Christmas
well,
present.
I just figured that for what you're paying me, I should just put the work in and get the notes.
Oh damn! I mean. What's the
Are we
agreed
gonna get a
sum?
Massive invoice from David?
Oh my
for,
god!
Like, every minute he's been on this podcast.
Yeah, it's a yearly invoice, and we're fucked.
It's okay. A crate of wine should do.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're so yeah. I mean, Simone will deliver it to me. I'll drive it up to New Yorkshire. It'll be the cheapest bottle of wine that we can, you know, send your way.
Perfect.
So this week for our opening of Christmas, Simone chose some real doozies. They are absolutely fantastic. So we will be doing Castle for Christmas and Christmas with a View. And oh boy, are these exciting movies. I am so happy that it's this time of the year. It's best.
Each movie was exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, this is a highly curated.
It was exactly what we expected it to be
yeah,
as well.
Exactly. So as always, we will let David decide who gets to go first. But before we do, what is everyone drinking today, David?
Well, I thought, you know, based on Christmas with a Castle, I've gone with whiskey, large, and leave the bottle, which is actually
nice.
A line. From A Castle at Christmas.
I think that's a perfect choice.
Yes.
So I thought really as I'm deemed. Geographically and probably like family closest to Scotland. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought, yeah, I'll go with the classic.
So we'll be using you as our Beautiful. Cultural guide.
Yeah. You can talk to us about Dun Dun Bar.
Yes. I did actually have to look it up, and there's so many people that have Googled it and said, you know, is Dun Dun Bar a real place?
It is.
Like, it is. Yes, it is. The castle is not that castle. The castle in the movie is a different castle because the castle at Dun Dun Bar is actually completely dilapidated. But, well,
I think I've been to the Dun Bar one when I was a kid.
Oh,
yeah,
lovely.
I traveled around Scotland very briefly with my parents when I was like a cool teenager. I had like dark brown hair. The pictures are very dramatic.
Fantastic.
It's a beautiful country.
Oh, lovely. Lovely, yeah. Mm.
I had a lot of sticky toffee pudding. Oh. I know that isn't like the national dish, but I had that a lot.
I love sticky toffee pudding.
So good. Do you like it with ice cream or custard, though? Like, that's a debate.
Custard.
Custard.
It's custard. It's only custard all
the way. So the closest analog we have here to it is Malfa pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, which, you know, it's like a vinegar pudding, David. I don't know.
It's basically sticky toffee pudding. It's
basically sticky toffee pudding, but better.
It is. I'm sorry, David. It is.
You can't put vinegar in something and make it better. I'm sorry. That's just.
It's got vinegar and apricot jam. It just kind of works together.
It works. Yeah.
To be perfect. It's. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, when you come down for our respective weddings, David, you'll
look.
We'll make you some.
It's what makes South Africa great. It's all the parts shouldn't work together, and yet they somehow do, and it just fits so wonderfully. Just like break out.
Watch David uncomfortably listen to us sing the national anthem poorly.
Yeah, mumble through.
How's your cosa, Chad?
Oh,
not good.
It's definitely not good. Definitely not good. Anyway, so what are you drinking?
So I tend to have malfa pudding with just whipped cream or like a heavy pouring cream, and I would imagine very similar for sticky toffee pudding.
That's very interesting. I would have never.
I'm not a huge sweet tooth, so I don't want anything. Making it even sweeter than it already is.
Okay, fair enough.
That's fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I like, I'm going to try it
okay.
now.
Okay, I was expecting to be lambasted, but...
No, we're not gammony.
Yeah, we don't have a beef with you.
Oh, Oh, he just, you know what?
I'm gonna leave. This is done.
I'm just a bit chicken.
Oh,
if you want to duck out, but
oh my god, stop! I'm gonna cry. It's too good, Simone. What have we done? It's just
why
he's
why
so
do
much
we
better.
Keep bringing David on, yeah, when he keeps showing us up on our own podcast chat.
I don't. Understand.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fresh Tomatoes movie podcast. I'm your host, David Elt, and joining me are our two special guests. This is Simone LaRue, and this is Chad Ekowitz.
Hi,
Thank you so much for having us, David.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A pleasure. I figured as it was this time of year, it's the time of giving, that we should give you two a chance to, yeah.
I'm really hoping, you know, like, this is so weird, but I'm really, really hoping that someone has fallen asleep between our intro and this intro, and they've just woken up now and been like, what the fuck? Yeah. Simone, what are you drinking?
Yes, I'm having a rosé.
Lovely.
It's this one. I liked the name of it. It's called The Rose Garden.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It's lovely. Remember, I'm going into summer, so this is like a full summer beverage.
Of course.
It's everything that you want in a tepid girl spring.
For my tepid girl spring, yes, exactly.
Exactly. Well, last night I went out on what the Brits call a lash.
Oh.
And so I am feeling quite hungover today. So I've just resorted back to friendly old water and just enjoying the soothing effect it's having on my body.
What was your hangover breakfast, though? Like, at least tell us that, Chad.
A pizza.
Did you have a good one?
I had a full-on nice. Spinach and ricotta pizza. And
nice.
Then Tesco's one-pound cheese balls. and an iced coffee from Costa.
Nice.
Because it just had to be done.
Living the best
life.
Nice. Yep.
I love that for you.
It's my cold water winter. That's what I'll call it. My winter of discontent.
Oh yeah, we'll have that, but let's wait for a couple of weeks until this comes out, and then we can just compare to these halcyon days of the end of November 2021.
There you go.
Chad, what are you drinking? Oh, you said, sorry, you just told us you're having a water. I my brain didn't accept it.
Exactly. It's so forgettable and just outrageous that you just wanted to get rid of it. So, David, tell us, what film do you want us to do first?
Well, it's a big choice.
It really is.
Because, like, Castle for Christmas is the one I saw second. It's slightly more polished than Christmas with a View, but Christmas with a View had so much more to talk about.
Yes, it did.
So I think out of the two, I think I'm going to go with Castle for Christmas first.
Nice.
Right. Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it out of the way, and then we can move on to the main event. Right, okay. So here we go. A Castle for Christmas. So you've got Sophie, played by Brooke Shields, who is this wonderful writer. She's written a series of books called the Emma Gale Chronicles, in which it's a sort of lovely, slightly older lady who finds her journey through love, and she meets this guy, Winston. Now, the issue is that in her final, last book of the Emma Gale series, she killed off Winston, and now everyone is furious at her. Like, every single human being who has read these books is absolutely outraged by her choice to kill the main protagonist character. Even Drew Barrymore, who plays herself in this movie, great cameo, cannot stand Sophie. So Sophie decides that for this Christmas, she's going to go back to Scotland. I say back because her family were the McGinties, who lived up in Dunbar, which is near Edinburgh in Scotland. Her father used to tell her... yeah, it's near Edinburgh for Americans, to be fair.
Yes. In which case, you should say Edinburgh.
Yeah, how it's spelled, Edinburgh.
For America.
Edinburgh. That's what you mean?
Sorry, I'm diving into the summer. Oh my god.
She's decided to go back to Scotland. She's going to write her next Emma Gale book up in Scotland, where it's peace and quiet and away from all these fans who are just so angry at her. She'll just get that peace and quiet because no one up in the Scottish Highlands will know who she is. At the same time, her ex-husband is now getting remarried, and her daughter has decided to go to the wedding, which, I mean, to be fair, Sophie is absolutely fine with, instead of spending Christmas with her.
She's really cool about it, actually.
So she goes up to Scotland and up to Dunbar, and she sees this really quaint village. Everyone's, like, super nice. You've got, like, a cast and crew who are... the important ones are Maisie, played by Andy Orshaw, and Rona, played by... I'm going to butcher this, but Ellie Lohan. Okay, now it is spelt in sort of the Irish way, so... I'm going to go with Ellie, but there is a D in there. So just be prepared.
It's probably Siobhan, though.
Yeah, that's true. What a language. So she meets these people. They actually recognize her, but they actually love her books, and they all hated Winston, the character, anyway. So they're like, yeah, good on you for killing him. And it's great. They absolutely get it.
Mm-hmm.
She then goes and finds out, like, her father used to work at the castle there, Dunbar, as sort of the caretaker and groundsman. So she goes off to the castle, and that's where she meets Miles, played by Kerry Elwes. How do you spell his name? Elwes.
It's Elwes. Right? I don't know if there's a fancy way to say it. I just always say Elwes.
Just call him that. So he meets
Smith.
Mm-hmm. So she meets Miles down at the castle, and he just looks like he's the groundskeeper. He's wearing sort of overalls, and he's cleaning up the whole. Outsidey bit and everything, and everything's fine. So she comes through, she wants to see the castles, but unfortunately there's no tour going on, so that's when Miles decides to show her around. It's very cute. They have like a little bit of banter. They kind of don't like each other in the beginning. They're kind of, that's when she asks who owns the castle now, and he's like, oh, some royal ass. And they have a little bit of a giggle. She goes and walks into a forbidden part of the castle, because that's where her father had engraved his name in one of the doors. And she wanted to, like, feel that presence again from him. Obviously, Miles is furious, kicks her off the property. They fight even more. That's when she finds out that Miles is, in fact, the Duke of Dunbar. And he is the royal ass who owns the castle. No one saw that coming. No. Not a single person. No. It completely took me by surprise.
Not the most famous person in this whole world.
Not a chance. Definitely not.
Well, Drew Barrymore was the Lord all along.
Duke, please, just be respectful of the title.
Sorry. They basically, lots of shenanigans ensue, but eventually it's decided that Sophie wants to buy the castle. Turns out that Dunbar is actually in a lot of financial trouble, and Miles is going to have to sell the castle. And so Sophie decides to buy it with all of her book money, apparently. And so Miles is like, fuck you, I'm going to drive you out in the next 90 days of escrow, which, also just want to let everyone know, just, for the legal eagles out there, you don't get escrow in this country. It's not a thing.
Yeah, I was very confused. I was like, I think that's a very specifically American thing, but cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But apparently there's an escrow on this for 90 days, and Miles is going to try and drive Sophie out. As you can imagine, they fall in love. All of his attempts to drive her out actually bring them closer together, and it's just wonderful. Everyone's getting along. She's sort of, made herself a fixture of the village. Everyone loves her because she's able to cut hair and knit, and that apparently makes you Scottish enough to stay. Sorry, my girlfriend laughed at that joke and it just completely threw me because I'm not funny. So basically, they get together. They like realize that they're meant to be together, and they're like having a really jaunty time. That's when Sophie's like, hey, once I've bought the castle, you can come and live with me in your castle. Obviously, Miles just flips out at this, like, completely just irrational fucks off, and he's just like, no, it's over, we're done. And so Sophie's like, okay, I don't want the castle anymore. I'm gonna give up now. They have a fight, then they realize, they were being a bit silly. They get back together. They throw this massive party at the castle for everyone, for Christmas, one could say. Everyone could come to the castle for Christmas. And they all have a lovely time, and she looks great dancing in her dress at the end, and they kiss, and that's the end.
And her daughter comes over as well as a surprise for Christmas.
Yes, and her daughter comes and surprises her for Christmas, and it's really lovely. Also, she writes a book about a Scottish warrior princess, and Drew Barrymore loves it. Mm. And that's the important message for Christmas, is that Drew Barrymore loves her new book.
If Drew Barrymore is happy, then we're all happy.
Yes. The end.
The end of the truth. The end. Chad, what is your cliffhanger?
I mean, it has to be this one, and it's the fight scene.
Well, what's left now?
You look like you want to say something.
Not really.
Then I do.
You have to.
Look, I was thinking, what happens after Christmas? Because I was thinking.
Been doing a lot of thinking.
What are you thinking?
I'm trying not to.
You could stay.
Stay?
At Dunbar.
What, you mean you... you'd let me stay in the place I've lived my whole life as a guest?
No, as...
As a what, then? As a tenant?
No.
Well, maybe as your boyfriend, then? Or Mr. McGill, what's his name? Winston, wasn't it? Aye. And we know what happened to him.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? You show up here. Buy my castle. Take over the place. Take over my whole life. And now you offer me a room in my own house. Ugh. Should never let you in the first place.
You don't get to walk away like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do I need your permission, Your Highness?
I can't believe that I was starting to think that we could be happy here.
There's that we again.
Yeah, we. That's right. Two people who have just spent 3 months together.
I was doing just fine until you showed up.
Were you?
I...
Oh, well, looks like you win then. Because this place is just gonna remind me of you. The deal is off. Enjoy your 12 empty bedrooms.
Leave the key on your way out.
You really are a royal ass.
You can't say I didn't warn you.
Because it was just so out of nowhere. Like, I know that Christmas movies have to have a conflict, but good lord.
Yeah, it was very forced.
Mm.
Yeah,
really,
very upsetting.
Yeah,
in an almost flawless Christmas movie, this was this was my big.
Is this not the most middle-aged woman fantasy you have ever seen in your life? She goes to a cute little town. She stays in an adorable Airbnb or B&B.
It's a pub. Airbnb.
She meets a knitting circle that she is immediately friends with everyone. She meets a handsome duke. Who falls in love with her. She moves into the castle. Her daughter comes to visit, and her daughter loves her and clearly takes her side in the divorce. And then she's super successful again. Like, tick, tick, tick. I, too, want to join a sassy Scottish knitting circle.
It would be perfect. It would be so, so wonderful, right? I mean, what a way to live. And then there's just this man who's always silent and kind of gruff, but also knits. And then he, like, does a jig.
Angus.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He was so cute in this.
I cried. And I mean,
that's the joy of this movie, right? It's it's the fact that everyone in this movie is super duper cute.
So nice. And there's a dog named Hamish. Like, are you even doing a movie in Scotland when there's a dog named Hamish?
He was one of the very, very best things about this film. Hamish was just... wonderful. Just took me back to so many kids programs where there was, you know, the dog that had been trained, and I'm sure that back in the early 90s there was one dog that went around all of the children's TV programs that there were at the time.
I think you're dead on there. I love that her dress has like a kilt tartan design.
Mixed in with it,
even though... So, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure, like, each of, like, the major families in Scotland has their own, like, kilt, or, like, tartan pattern.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I'm not convinced that the classic red tartan that we see there is the Dunbar one?
I mean, probably not.
Because, like, that's the most basic tartan. Like, anytime you're buying a tartan skirt, like, that's what it looks like.
It's more, David, correct me if I'm wrong, but most tartans are actually green.
Yes, a lot of them are, yeah.
It's, like, green and blue and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. I didn't do the full research on that part.
Why the fuck are you here?
Because I've still got a whole load of notes to go. Thank you, Chad. I have the documents. I have in my hand a piece of paper.
Mm.
Well, I think since you mentioned it, this is a really good time to do our favorite new segment, which is David's lines.
David's
corner.
Copious
notes. We'll think of a name.
Yes.
Yeah, David's copious notes.
I have to say that anyone who wants to go on the Drew Barrymore show now knows that the Wi-Fi password is guest welcome, because it was there on the wall. So that's the guest Wi-Fi for the Drew Barrymore show, so just so you know. I did like at the beginning where you had the Scottish subtitles. That's just to ease the Americans in and just get everyone ready for that. And I have to say that it was such a nice sort of UK-US thing where they said, oh, why didn't you kill that idiot off in volume one? Why did you leave it for 12 books to kill him off? And I just thought,
I love it.
Yeah. After all the roasting that she's got at home.
Mm-hmm.
Then the staircase built clockwise for defense is a myth.
Oh.
Is it?
It is. Because if you've already got attackers storming the castle, then you're already completely fucked.
Yeah, that's also true.
If they've got to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Like, the last thing you're going to worry about is how hard is it for them to get up the final spiral staircase.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was only anti-clockwise, we could actually take Dun Dunbar. But because it's clockwise, we're screwed. We might as well just go home.
Exactly. And there's lots of medieval castles which have anti-clockwise staircases, but it's just, I'm pretty sure that I heard that it was, it's basically a story that got made up. That has then essentially gone viral, and so it just keeps on going.
Yeah.
So, no.
Okay.
You heard it.
That's good to know.
When I was in Israel and I visited the old fortresses there, they were built, sort of the entrance was built with a 90 degree to the left, so that as soldiers were coming in, their right hands with their swords were, you know, towards the back, and they couldn't really get round it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe that's just a huge lie that us tourists get told.
Well, it could be, because
that's different. That
when I was in India, there was the Maharanga Fort in Jodhpur has this long road ramp up and then this sharp 90 degree to the right.
Right.
So that elephants can't be charged up and then smash into it.
Genius.
But there, of course, if it's going to the right, then
the sword hand is also at the wrong place. Yeah.
But like I say, I know
a left-handed army. In which case, oh boy, you're in trouble now.
But statistically, unlikely.
I think it's very different though to have the spiral staircase at the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
So where people are just coming into the fort, you might think, okay, let's make sure our right hands are there available, as opposed to in the middle of the keep on the castle, like you've got through the battlements, you've got past the river, you've got past the moat, you've got past the pack of wild dogs, and the haggis farm, you know, you've got past all of that, and now that you're in the center, now we think about trying to hold everyone off.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. What else are you going to ruin for us on this list?
Tell us something else from your notes that's complete, you know, and utter hogwash from this movie. Apart from, I mean, we've already discussed the escrow thing, so I can put that one to bed.
Yes, curses. Mind you, I did notice, so when the cook, servant guy, whatever his name was. Yeah, but he said ladies first, but he only put the napkin over Miles' legs. He didn't actually do the napkin for her. And I was thinking,
that's rude.
Yeah.
That's very rude. Especially after you've just said ladies first.
Mm. Oh,
gotta
disgusting.
Watch your etiquette.
It's like, what are you doing?
You're going to be the first one to go when she's Lady of the Manor.
Yeah, when she's in charge. Yeah, it doesn't matter how happy he is doing a little dance. No. Once it gets past New Year,
he's out on the streets.
He's totally out. One of the good things about this was they actually had people actually playing the music.
Yes.
Like the band actually played, which is so refreshing to see, because usually you'll see people playing a pipe or something, and it's like,
he's got a flute.
Because usually you see people, it's a penny whistle.
Sorry, it's a penny whistle.
Usually when you see people doing the music, they'll just be going.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And rather than actually doing.
We did a.
And etc.
I mean, what is this podcast become? This is why, I mean, we asked David to pass us a spoon and he gives us a bowl of soup. And I am so happy. What was that? That was so
I was
great.
Not expecting to get a musical performance today.
See,
I wasn't expecting to bash out David Attenborough last time, but
so,
you know, it happens.
We just bring that out in you, it seems.
That's the good thing about having a loose and very wet structure of a podcast, because just anything can happen.
I don't know if I would describe our podcast as loose and very wet.
that is the comments I left when I was giving our podcast a review. I said a very loose and wet podcast.
So that's why we're struggling to get
Yeah, yeah. I can see my mistake now. I can see what I did wrong. That was great.
Been a minute, huh?
That's exactly why we have recorders in our primary schools in the UK. It's for this reason. Yeah,
it's true.
To play a jaunty tune when the mood strikes.
Yeah. The funny thing is that I used to want to play the bagpipes, and they said in order to play the bagpipes, you need to learn the penny whistle because it's the same fingering without, you know,
sorry.
Bag and pipe and
annoyed
neighbours.
The moment you said the word fingering, we were both like...
I'm just so glad I wasn't the only one. That was so fucking great. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, David. I'm so sorry. You have to deal with such poor professionalism.
He brings fucking penny whistles. He's done research. And you and I are laughing at the word fingering.
Anyway, we love to have you here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's always such a pleasure.
I loved this lead... her arms. Her arms were... unbelievably
Oh, she
gorgeous.
Does Pilates for sure.
Yeah, Brooke Shields has the best arms in the universe, without question.
I only hope to have arms like hers by the time I'm her age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that was like the one very standout-y moment for me in the film, is just how incredible her upper body was.
I think, I think that... Maybe it's just me, but to me, I think the subtle implication was that she's a bad writer, because whenever an author kills off a character, the issue is never like, oh, you know, the character's dead. It's if it doesn't make sense in the context of the books. Like, often when a beloved character gets killed off, you're like, oh, okay, this is really sad, but it actually makes sense. Like, there was clearly a build-up to this, and this character clearly had to die for X to happen or whatever. And she just didn't do that. She was just really mad at her husband after a divorce, so she, like, figuratively pushed him down some stairs. And so... I just love that the implication is she wasn't an incredible writer, except apparently in Scotland, where they're like, you don't need a reason to kill someone.
That's very Scottish. That's a Scottish tradition, really, isn't it, David?
Yeah.
Oh, very much so.
But speaking about her being a bad writer, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's those scenes where she types like the first sentence of the book and everything, and just everything about it.
She has not planned a novel in any way. She's full going, on pantsing it.
Like... And it was great because she like capitalized well and everything to sort of like reflect her mental way of saying it, and it was just great because the reader is just gonna be like, what is happening? Why is well capitalized? I'm so confused.
I did actually like the fact that she said, yes, the well whispered to the wind about a woman, and I just thought, that is shit.
That's
and
a
she
rough
said
line.
No, that's rubbish. And deleted it all. So she was actually listening to the audience at the time.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Think that's very and empathetic.
Who among us hasn't typed a line where you're like, oh, that's garbage. That's that's terrible. I mean, I told Chad about the pun that I wrote for my day job the other day, and I am still mortified.
It was beautiful.
It was... find a job that feels like it was mermaid for you.
I mean,
at this point, should you say what your job is?
I'm a copywriter for
oh right, okay, right, yes.
So I was writing ads these were supposed to be summer themed, so
gotcha, right, yes.
You proud of yourself?
I mean, I'm like more proud of that than I also wrote one like find a job that feels like it floats your boat or find a job
great.
That floats your boat. And I didn't love that. I wasn't proud of that one.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love this. I love this new persona
I love
that David
being
is.
Being sassed in Penny Whistle.
David's like the guy who's with David Letterman who's on the fucking guitar all the time.
On the drums.
Yeah.
If this is bit we're going to be bringing back into the podcast more. I'm going to need you to practice a bit more, David.
Yeah, please, David. Like,
Oh. Yeah, you bring the sass. You bring that sass.
Hey, we've all got to bring something to the Christmas table. Right, so let's talk golden nuggets then. Simone, what is your golden nugget for this beautiful film?
I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. I teared up a couple times in this movie. I love a Christmas movie. I teared up when Angus, when he was like, you should never regret loving someone. And like the whole thing is obviously like for our listeners, Angus doesn't speak. He's devastated after the mm-hmm. loss of his wife. But he speaks up
then
when Brooke Shields is ready to give up on Cary Elwes. And he's like, you should never regret loving someone. Oh, what?
Husband? It was his husband.
Was it his husband?
Wife.
Oh, sorry. I like...
You straight washing everything. Oh, my goodness, Simone.
Someone's going to get cancelled.
I'm sorry, his husband passed away. And
that is really beautiful.
I'm so sorry. My apologies. I'm apologizing to you, David, as the representative.
Oh, right, yeah, as a token gay. Okay, thank you.
Hey, you're our token penny whistler. Come on, you're better than that. But as recompense, Simone will be donating £10,000 to the LGBT community and at large through David. So Simone will just send a giant check to you, David,
to you,
so that's fine.
To you directly, yes. You can.
I'll just add it to my invoice.
Oh, God. Yeah,
exactly.
We need to just work out a payment plan really quick off air, David.
That's fine. I'm nothing if not magnanimous.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you
especially when I've just been told to practice more.
Hey, if we're paying for the penny whistle,
David,
you can charge
those practice hours to us as well.
Simone.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Have you never read Art of the Deal? What are you doing?
Clearly not, Chad.
So you're actually thawing.
Yeah, I liked
you're
also Cary Elwes' speech to Brooke Shields when you know mm-hmm. he stood outside her window and she's come down to see him and he's like, I won't stop you from going. I'm not going to even attempt the accent. I think that's best for all of us. And he's like, I won't stop you from going back to New York, but that doesn't mean I won't follow you. And I don't know, my heart just.
Again, Simone, creepy line. I'm not gonna do the sexy. I'm not gonna do the sexy voice that you said it was sexy like the other time when it's. But it's an inherently creepy line.
It is. Yeah. It's basically saying I'm a stalker.
But he said it like it was about the delivery. The delivery was very good, and it. I don't know.
If
it
you try and go 5,000 miles away, I'm going to come after you.
Okay.
You can't escape.
Okay. I see. I can hear it now. I can hear the difference between like the way I delivered it, like really sexy, and then how David delivered it, which was very sexy.
Thank you, Chad. You can get a discount.
See, that's how it's done.
Okay,
someone.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still problematic, and I find creepy stuff sexy. I've been in a relationship for a very long time, so who's to say.
I'm very worried about what Rudy's doing behind closed doors, right? Like with the.
Like I'm creepy. What can I say?
Oh goodness! How about you, David? Golden nuggets?
Well, I did like the explaining of the various words for idiot.
That was cute.
That was a fun. That was,
that
really
was
a fun.
That
bit
was
of
a
dialogue.
Nice little. Yeah. I liked the fact that someone said you divvy. Like yeah, I'll go with that. But I think my standout line was he went to Oxford. And Cambridge?
Yes.
Yeah. How many ways can we get the audience to go, oh,
hey, so smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So smart. Mm-hmm. It certainly has nothing to do with class.
Exactly.
No, nothing. Not at all.
Definitely not. That's why the whole village got mortgaged. It was to pay for his tuition, basically.
Although it was free probably back when he was going there.
Oh, now we're getting real political.
Yes, it only started being charged at such stupid rates when I went there.
Which way do we think he voted in Brexit? Yeah. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Yeah, was he being Scottish? Did he vote Remain in for the referendum? Or, you know, to sort of...
I mean, statistically, he voted Remain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
well, no, statistically, right? His top half voted Remain and his bottom half didn't. I don't know. Because Scotland was, I think, 62-63% Remain.
Right.
But I think in terms of money and place in society, I'm probably thinking...
he definitely voted to leave.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But given that this is a Netflix film, he probably voted whichever way the viewers wanted him to vote.
That's very true.
Whichever way Brooke Shields would have been happiest
exactly,
with.
Yeah.
So I think for me, my golden nuggets for this one was definitely the Scottishness of it all. You know, from the first moment she lands in Scotland, you've got the taxi with the tartan on the side, adorable. Mm-hmm. Then you've got like these people in cozy sweaters knitting more sweaters, which is, let's be honest, what Scottish people do 6 months of the year just to prep for those cold winters. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just all of it was just wonderfully, wonderfully Scottish. And as David said at the beginning, that line, you know, pour me a large whiskey and leave the bottle, if that's not the most Scottish thing, you know, apart from can I finger you behind the bins of a Greggs, then like I don't know what is.
That's more of a north of England, but you know, or a Glasgow, I suppose. Yeah, but
yeah.
You've not said that one before either.
I will say, I've never seen more teenagers smoking. Than
yeah. There you go.
There's nothing else to do.
It's just so fucking cold all the time.
It's so cold. Listen, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right. So would we recommend this again to watch again?
Yeah, it's really fun, actually.
It is good.
It's a lovely movie to watch. I think it hits all the right notes. Cary Elwes does a surprisingly good Scottish accent.
Yes.
I don't know why I was expecting him to botch it. He's, you know, he's a thespian. So
I thought he was going to botch it. I completely agree with you. I thought he was going to absolutely wreck it. And he did very well. Yeah.
I still think that this is one of those that if you've got to the end of Netflix on Boxing Day and you've got nothing else to watch and you're probably A, hungover and B, had a lot of the hair of the dog,
right,
this is where this film comes in. If I hadn't had to do it for you, then I wouldn't do it.
Wow, okay, very interesting. Interesting. I'm very intrigued. I mean, we'll ask at the end of the podcast just to, you know, for flow reasons, obviously. You know, but we will ask you what your sort of go-to Christmas movies are and like bad Christmas movies as well. So just keep that in your mind. But yeah, like Simone, I've got to agree with you. This movie is just delightful. And it's so lovely to just see, you know, this is middle-aged, you know, auntie porn. And
absolutely,
it's just so fun to watch.
Really,
and
is.
I mean, to be fair, as a middle-aged auntie that I am, like this is my vibe. I live for this type of shit. So
all I want to do is go to Scotland and find a lovely name.
Sorry, Chad.
Exactly.
Sorry, Chad. Chad,
right.
Can I just pause you there? Because last time I was on, you both made it very clear that I was a lot older than you. Which means that if you are middle-aged, then what are you saying I am?
In spirit.
David, you're an old crone now. No.
Okay, no, that's fine. No. That's fine. As long as you're honest, I don't mind.
Simone was
very clear earlier about you know, you two will be honest if you're breaking up with me, and I appreciate that. But I just needed clarification, that's all.
No, believe us, David, you are the beautiful person. You're the shining light that keeps this podcast together. Like, you are that glue. but no pressure yet.
No pressure.
But no, as we've often said, I was born to be a middle-aged suburban mom in sort of like the south of America. Sort of that's my vibe. Church on Sundays, cook a big family feast. Mm-hmm. We all fall asleep in front of the couch. I go tend to my cows.
In front of the couch?
Yeah. Just, we don't watch TV because it's a Christian household, David. We don't have the devil box. Come on.
You would not believe the messaging that they have on
it's
TV.
It's disgusting.
This is why I don't watch TV.
Exactly.
Very good.
So yeah, and
very
then I
good.
Go and milk my cows and, you know, do all the middle-aged suburban, you know, woman things that I really would want in my heart. So that's where that comes from.
I love that.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking for a Fallout audio drama? It's True Vault Escapades! That's right, follow the death-defying adventures of Detective Walter Camry and his vault girl Bunny as they solve the wasteland's biggest mysteries. From the dramatic Texas prologue to the high-stakes world of New Vegas, Walter and Bunny risk it all to crack everything from murders, slaver syndicates, and corruption at the highest level in post-nuclear America. True Vault Escapades. It's a Fallout show with a detective twist. Look for True Vault Escapades wherever you get your podcasts.